everybody. This is David Collins, and this is BitNote. We'll be playing video game music and talking about video games. Hope you enjoy. Well, Happy New Year to everyone out there. For our first song, I'm actually going to give you a bit of an introduction to the game it's from. Normally, I know I throw you into the song and you all enjoy it, and then I give some background. But the song works better in context, so I think I better give you some background to it. The game it's from is Dead Rising 2. Now, I've mentioned the previous game, Dead Rising, before, largely in regards to bikes, but I think I never really gave that game enough credit. With a lot of games, basically, it's go from A to B, kill whatever's on the way. Well, you know, defeat whatever on the way. And sometimes games will be set in a sandbox where you have a set of missions, you decide which one to do. The Dead Rising games are completely different. I mean, they're the similar, but they basically throw you in this entire setting. And in the first game, it's a shopping mall filled with shopping center, of course, depending on, you know, which country you come from. A shopping center full of zombies, and you have 72 hours until help arrives. In this game, Dead Rising 2, you're in a Vegas-esque city called Fortune City. So it's a very clamped down location, and you've got a time period that'll run out. You've pretty much got the run of the area from the get-go, with a few sections locked off. And here's the fun thing. You can basically decide exactly how you spend your time. Now, normally there's a case or a storyline that you have to complete by being in certain areas at certain times, but there's also a whole lot of civilians or, you know, survivors you have to rescue and bring back to the safe house. And then there are also a lot of events, and there are psychopaths who are people trying to attack you. And it's just, it's like, it's a great game because there's so many different levels to it. You can just go for that visceral thrill and just try to beat up the zombies and find all the weapons and beat them up. Or you can be like the heroic person, go around, rescue survivors. And if you want to rescue all the survivors, you have to kind of like look at the map of the area and figure out where all the survivors are. And, you know, because more survivors come in time, and try to figure out the best way of going around the map. Because here's the key thing. There's a time limit on practically everything. The entire game is like, basically passes by at a speed of like 5 seconds in real life to every minute in the game world. So the 72 hours basically gets reduced to about 6 hours of real game time. And with every moment that passes, there's another opportunity that might pop up or another opportunity that you might have missed. So you've got to try to figure out your time schedule, figure out your system to try to get to do everything that you want to do and still be able to, you know, hopefully get through to the end. It's actually, of course, maybe you decide not to do that. Maybe you decide just to, you know, just focus on one object and do that whole thing. But if you want to try to, like, do everything at the same time, you just got to manage, you know, rescue survivors, try to get to the right place at the right time. I mean, time is a real valuable commodity. And what some people do, actually, is, you see, you can gain experience for your character the more he battles zombies or rescues survivors. Rescuing survivors can really help. You get more experience to develop your character. So what some people do is just play the game, get their character, you know, level up so it becomes more powerful and stronger, and then restart the game, and then with their more powerful character, the game lets you do that, and just go through the game like that. So there's a real sense of strategy to the whole thing. And that's one of the things I really like about it. Now, the song, right? Well, as I say, in the game you're basically playing Chuck Green and you're largely rescuing Survivor. Most of the time you're dealing with somewhat who are called psychopaths. These are people who have become crazy during the zombie outbreak, or were crazy beforehand, and the zombie outbreak just made them go as nuts as they ever really wanted to. And the psychopaths will usually try to attack you directly and you'll have to defeat them. Or, that's pretty much it for the most part. And that's one of the fun thing about dealing with the psychopaths is they're often like caricatures. Like, I think my favourite one from Dead Rising 2 is the mailman who basically continues trying to deliver packages even during the zombie outbreaks. And when he meets Chuck Green and believes that he's responsible for the mail getting delayed, he attacks Chuck Green with explosive mail packages and a shotgun. And it's just funny. There's like, most of the psychopaths are like almost cartoony. There's a brief cutscene that explains their motivations. Then there's the boss fight. And then after they defeat, you get a nice cutscene showing how you're finally off. I mean, there's another guy, a security guy, who goes a bit nuts and starts dressing as a cowboy and trying to deal with looters and stuff. But BB is one of the is actually kind of a version of this. I mean, she's the psychopath, but you don't actually defeat her as a battle. You see, she's basically an rather elder. She's rather elderly woman who's basically used to be a hugely successful diva or singer. Now, obviously, so unfortunately, apparently things didn't quite go well, or who knows what happened. Her time in the light passed, and then suddenly the zombie outbreak happens, and she's convinced that this is the opportunity to start her comeback tour when people finally see what she's really like, and she regains popularity. So she kind of was a bit psychopathic, but she also had quite a bit of charisma. So even though she ended up taking a bunch of survivors hostage, strapped explosives to them, and forced them to listen to her entire performance, you couldn't help just admire the moxie of her, of going out there and trying to restart her career against all the odds, even though admittedly she was hugely psychopathic and putting innocent lives in danger in the process. So you talk with her, and it's actually, like I said, not straightforward. She ends up having to ask you to do a lot of tasks, such as get her a beer and get into a nice tuxedo and get everything ready for her big, errands to run to get everything prepared. And then when the thing starts, you have to do some quick button pressing in order to make sure that the show goes off without a hitch. And so it's kind of funny. I mean, you're rescuing survivors by briefly becoming a stage manager of a diva who's staging a comeback tour. This is what I like about games. They're just these sort of fun stuff. I mean, I could tell you about the British rock group in there, but that's another whole story. But and so essentially what I'm about to play you is the song that she sings. It's called Diva Comeback Amore. It is now the composer of the entire of the soundtrack was Oleska Loizochuk, and the singer of the song is Patricia Drake, who's an actress and a voice actor. So it's kind of funny looking at profiles of voice actors. You always find so many little cartoons that watched and had no idea that they starred in. But and as I said, it's from Dead Rising 2 by Capcom. So this is the song that plays, and it also actually plays in one of the credits for like the best ending. But this is the song that plays when you've finally managed to get everything into gear. The remaining survivors in the area, which she's taken captive, are literally breathless, waiting for her to, because they're worried about the explosives that she still has a detonator to. And in order to make sure everything goes off with hopefully not a literal blast, you're there on the backstage coordinating to make sure all the sparks and all the special effects go off and just give the best effect to BB's comeback tour. So let's have a playback of Diva Comeback Amore.
Yeah.
If you want to know the ending of what happens after that song, well, let's just say it's a happy ending. I mean, unless, of course, you screwed up the button combinations, in which case she... Yeah, this is kind of one of the things about video games. You have to earn your happy ending, although, thankfully, in that specific instance, it's not that hard if you've got a bit of time. Let's just throw you into the next song. Sound good?
Thank you.
And that was Concentrate by Nervous Test Pilot from the game Frozen Synapse, which was developed by Mode 7. Nervous Test Pilot is an electronic musician from the UK, and it's kind of funny how all these electronics musicians these days have like really weird names that you'd normally find on the internet. For instance, Nervous Test Pilot apparently spells his name with an underscore. It's kind of reminding me of like Dead Mouse, I think, and a few other electronic artists who have these funny names, but nothing wrong with that. So, about the game it's from, Nervous Synapse. It's an indie game released a year or two ago. It's essentially, you can buy it online through whatever method of purchasing online is your choice, and it's a fun, good game. It's actually a very strategic game, very simplified, iconic graphics. And it's kind of hard to describe. I mean, yes, the game is... It's like an intense indoor combat section, but the whole thing is treated like a game of chess. Essentially, everyone takes turns. The action is frozen and moves forward in 5-second increments. And at each 5 seconds elapses, you give command to your troops. You're usually controlling an armed troop of about 5 or 6 people, and they're going up against the enemies who might be in a computer, or they might be a multiplayer game where, of course, everything gets more complex. And you have to give your troops a set of commands, and then when you're ready, you prime it, and the next 5 seconds plays out. And depending on what your commands did or not, either they successfully defeat the enemies or they get annihilated, or else just nothing happens and you have to plan the next 5 seconds. It's a very strategic game because you have to actually think about you have to like move your men into the right positions. If they're like shooting through a window, for instance, they've got an advantage, but if they run into the open air and then an enemy takes them from behind, they're finished. So you have to try to anticipate the enemy actions, try to move your troops into the best position possible. And you can't just like move them into like gunfire and hope to take their chances, because there's a set of rules that determines about who will win in a gunfight. If your enemy like runs wildly into an open space, you meet someone who's just slightly behind cover and has been staying still the whole time, he'll get shot. So often you have to get your troops to move into a position and lay still there while the enemy sends his troops. And like I said, you have to make out your moves, figure out each move, and then give your set of instructions, then play it and see whether or not it turned out okay. So it's a really cool game in that respect. The setting is actually very nice as well, with a basic storyline. It takes place in kind of like the future where technology has become a big thing and there are big cities and, you know, everyone's living in a big city and all the outlines are just wastes where like hippies live and everything, and there's a religion. So it's doing a lot of like the science fiction, you know, conventions in terms of not convention is in place. I mean, convention is an established method of doing things, where essentially it's like they predict a future world that's like an exaggerated image of the world of where we feel the world is going. For instance, one of the themes there is this company that has access to so much of the world's information that is actually gathering knowledge and influencing things and trying to become a political power. And, you know, people are, and of course, one of the characters in it is this guy who's saying, wait a sec, this is going in the wrong direction. I won't have part of this. And so he joins you and your troops. I mean, who you're actually playing for is a bit of a kind of a fun little question. It's, but essentially, you're with a group of people who are really trying to revert the problem done by this corporation that has become way too powerful. And smartly enough, the game does throw a few questions your way of, are you actually on the right side? Which is a question, no matter what you should do, you should tend to ask yourself from time to time. Although, since I doubt many of you out there are actively engaged in whether or not a certain set of people live or die, I think that question mightn't be quite relevant, but still worth bearing in mind, because you never actually know. There are a lot of people out there who can be influenced by actions, and especially in this case where you're directly controlling the actions of a bunch of these of people with guns who are going around shooting and possibly blowing stuff up, especially when you get the rocket launchers. But yeah, it's a fun game. It's very strategic. Sometimes you'll actually have to... It's not an instant gratification game. Sometimes you have to keep your troops in position and just hold it forward a few turns and let the enemy make the mistake. But like I said, it's this whole challenge, and the story makes good setting too. All right. Okay, so this is a moment that I thought would come, and I deliberately put it off. What's happening next? There is a song that came from a video game that existed quite a while before I did the show, but I have resisted up to this point of ever playing it on this radio station. Why? Well, because, quite frankly, it was overdone. When the game that this song was released for was released, this song was nice. I mean, I remember playing through the game. I remember listening to the song saying, that's a cute song, that's a fun song. And then I went online to the message boards and the comment threads of the internet, and people seemed to like the song too. And then it kept going. There were videos of the song and people making versions of the song and people making animations based on the song, and then people making parodies of the song, and then people making blog posts of the song, and then all the gaming blogs would suddenly throw up more and more posts, something about doing the song, and then the song became inescapable. People kept talking about the song, message board posts, everything, the song. It was like overexposure. It's like when it seems to come up, everything. It's like if Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On, was suddenly in the internet, and suddenly no matter where you went, you could not escape it. And if someone even mentioned something even related to the song, someone would bring it up in conversation and think that they were so funny. And simply, the song is a very, very good song that deserves to be listened to, but ended up getting that what it deserved again and again so often that it kind of ran itself into the ground without even meaning to. It's not the song's fault. The song was funny. It was positioned nicely, but it just took off way, way more than anyone ever expected. I actually did play a song early on in the radio of this show in a previous show that was actually mildly but not really inspired by this song. It was You Have to Cut the Rope song. But no, this time I finally decided, look, enough time has passed. It's been months since I've even heard of the song online. It's died down, and let's face it, there are a lot of people out here who might actually want to listen to that song because it is pretty good. So what is the song? The song is called Still Alive, composed by Jonathan Coulton and performed by Ellen McLean. It is from the game Portal, developed by Valve. Now, Portal is actually a game that deserves its own mention. Essentially, you're in a science facility and running through a set of tests. You've got a portal gun. If you shoot into walls, it'll create these portals. And here's the fun thing. You can shoot two portals at a time, and whenever you shoot it on one wall and another wall, the two portals will instantly hook up. So if you were to put one portal in the wall and one in the ceiling, then if you stepped through the portal in the wall, you'd walk down from the roof of the ceiling and fall down. Of course, you couldn't sustain any fall damage in this game, so that was good. But they used it to do all sorts of puzzles. You could like jump off a ledge and put one portal on the ground and then one in the wall. So you fell into the ground portal at full speed and then flew out of a portal in the wall. And it was so fun. And then you could put portals here and there, and there were all sorts of puzzles that would challenge you. And then there'd be turrets, and you'd like try to get past turrets by putting one portal in the corridor beyond it and one in the one you're in, and then go quickly throughout. Portals like were a really cool concept. They existed in some form or other, like a lot of ideas beforehand, but Portal the game was just one game where it just took it to fun, and so many fun combinations, so many fun things to do. And and it was a great Valve, actually, the company that made it, actually hired a bunch of college students who'd developed a basic version of this game and wanted to make it a full game. So it was one of those cases where someone comes up with a cool idea, they execute it, people like it, and so it's taken to a whole new level. And like I said, it was fun. There was a whole humorous backstory that basically you were a test subject, and there was this psychotic computer who was meant to really only be testing you, and you would hear its voice, but then gradually it turned out that the computer seemed to be going slightly incredibly crazy and was just trying to put you through all these tests, probably for its own sadistic amusement. You eventually have to break out of the testing using the portal gun, thankfully, using exploiting the system, and then try to find the computer, and then finally engaged in an epic combat, which actually involves you redirecting its missiles it shoots at you with the portals. I'm sorry if I spoiled that for you, but seriously, if you hadn't worked it out, it's kind of obvious. I mean, the portal gun can't be used for strictly offensive purposes. It's kind of one of the fun things, is just how you use it in different ways. So, you finally battle the computer, and I don't think it's spoiling to say you defeat them. Once again, it's if you actually do defeat the boss. And it seems for a moment everything is finished and you're fine. And then, of course, this song plays up. Now, one of the fun things about Portal, not just the song and not just the play mechanics, but also the nice little relationship that the computer AI seems to have with you. It seems to be so psychotic towards you, but also so delightful and so forced politefulness. And so what a better note, very obvious pun there, to go out on than the final song that's played in this game that kind of epitomizes in a lot of weird ways the relationship between you and the computer. So this has been BitNote with David Collins. Thank you all for listening, and I leave you with a song that's sung by a psychotic computer.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive. Black Mesa, that was a joke.